You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
The Property Relationships Act is Aotearoa's main legislation that considers family property. However, the University of Auckland's Professor Mark Hennigan and researcher Christian Poland argue that children's rights to a stable home are neglected by laws that prioritise adult interests. In their new research, Children and the Reach of Family Property, the Rhetoric and the Reality, Hennigan and Poland highlight the importance of a stable and secure family home for children's well-being, especially during their formative years. I spoke to Professor of Law at the University of Auckland, Mark Hennigan, about such calls to reform children's housing rights in Aotearoa. I began the interview asking him what the consequences of an unstable home are for children.
Well, I think firstly, children don't get the attention they need. If home's unstable, then and we see lots of it. I'm actually here meeting with the Family Violence Death Review Committee, and almost all the children that end up in dreadful circumstances, and some of them do get killed. They're often in very unstable homes where people are moving around. There's no stability to the home at all. So it makes them very hard to get the attention they need. Often there's not the regular routines in an unstable house. You're more likely, if the house has got too many people in it, which at the moment they said, sadly for Maori families, about 20% of the homes are overcrowded. You're more likely to get sicknesses and other things because there's more people around you. You've got the space to yourself. It's very hard for children when they're learning to have time to learn because the more unstable the house, you don't get into good routines and healthy routines. So it has massive impacts on adults, but even more impact on children who need stability, security. It's one of the fundamental needs. If you go back to the basics of children's needs in early life, it's security and stability, and it takes all that away, and it makes it very, 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 very difficult for them to learn, because there's a lot going on when you're a child. Your brain's working 100 miles an hour, and then you're moving from one unstable environment to another. Let's see how it's here. But staying with other people over here makes it very, very difficult for children to get into good patterns and good habits. And of course, it's stressful for their parents, and if parents are stressed, that stress passes to the children, and they haven't got the time to do the things that children have attention that children need for their learning. So it has massive impacts here.
What are some of the key factors that tend to disrupt the stability?
Well, I think a lot of it is poverty, and we still have 12% of children in Aotearoa, New Zealand, which is quite a lot of children living in serious deprivation. So obviously families just don't have enough money to be able to buy homes or to even pay rents for decent homes. They often have to share homes or live in homes that are far from ideal for children with an environment around them that's not conducive to their safety and their well-being. So a lot of it is the big gap we have in our society between those who have and can afford a home or afford to pay for good accommodation and those that can't. And frankly, that gap seems to be getting wider each generation.
Under Aotearoa's main legislation that considers family property, the Property Relationships Act, how much are children's needs considered?
Well, the Property Relations Act is really, it's what we call private law. So under private law, when there is a dispute, and mainly the people who can afford have disputes over issues like homes and that have homes, so they've got money. The law actually does say, Section 26 of the Act actually says that the children's rights to property must be considered by the court. It very rarely is, and I think it's mainly because the parties argue over it or negotiate over the basis that if there's a good spread of the property, then the children will have good access to the property no matter where they go. But there is an argument to be made that maybe that there should be more consideration. In fact, there's been recommendations that we should have lawyer appointed for the child to say, what about the property needs of the children? But sometimes one party, we were talking about it today, one of the meetings, sometimes one party takes all the money and does various things. The other party's living in very difficult accommodation. If they can, the party has got the money, could afford better accommodation. So that's when you really do need the court to say, well, what about the children in this case? You know, and so the difficulty though with private proceedings is you need the money, you need the resources to be able to mobilise a lawyer to argue your case, and that can be difficult. I've helped people that sometimes have spent 10 years going to the family court to get money out of people who just will not. They'll sit about companies and trusts and all sorts of things, but it takes years to find out what's out there. They're often quite wealthy, but they often won't pay the full dues to their often the mother who's looking after the children, and it takes years to get anything out of it. So that in those cases, you'd want the law to be a bit stricter in terms of, well, this is not only will the mother suffer, but the children will suffer if we don't get a decent settlement. So that's the private law. I also think we need to have a public law framework to look at homes, because life is full of luck, and children are born into circumstances, often generations, where they haven't got a lot of money and they've struggled, and so therefore it's always going to be in situations where the homes aren't good. And we're well behind building state homes. In the 50s, 60s and 70s when I grew up, state homes were much more available. Governments have sort of dropped right off the number of state homes that we build, and we're having more and more families coming through. There's no real good homes to put them in. And they were good homes. If you look at some of the places, places like Cunninghams and Auckland, really good areas that they were built, and they were damn good homes. So we've kind of lost that ideal that we had, providing state homes if people are strong and they can live in it for a long period of time. Moving between emergency house or other, moving with other people, moving around, not good for anyone.
You've argued that our laws should align with the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which Aotearoa has signed up to. Do you think we are delivering on our international obligations?
No, I don't think we are. I mean, Article 24 says that children are entitled to an adequate standard of living, and it doesn't have to be, like Rolls Royce, but it has to be at least adequate. And there are many homes, researchers have shown that cold, don't have proper insulation, and children get very, very sick. And if you look at children from lower deprivation areas where they're suffering, their health issues go up. There's a child health monitor that comes out of the medical school at Otago University, and they show that once you get into the lowest quintile of homes with those with serious deprivation, their health issues go up amazing, and they start getting third world conditions and illnesses they should never get. And these things can affect them for the rest of their lives. So it really does make a difference with a safe, warm, well-insulated home that they can, and a stable home. They're the fundamentals. In fact, if you look at needs, without a good stable home, it's very hard to meet your other needs in those circumstances. And we see it time and time again. We look at families getting the difficulties and things that happen to children. Often they are in those sort of conditions, and while people have to take certain responsibility for actions, sometimes it's through the circumstances of where they were born. It's very hard to get out of that mire unless we give them a lift up, and it's going to affect the children's abilities to have good health. It's going to affect the ability to probably perform well on education. All those things are so important for the children's future and for all our futures. And we want healthy, well-educated children coming out so they can keep society operating. Otherwise, we're going to pay a bigger price down the track if we don't do something about it now.
And you've spoken briefly about it throughout our conversation here, but would you be able to elaborate on some of the practical solutions, what those might be to this issue in Aotearoa, do you think?
Yeah, I think one of the practical solutions, I think, which is really important, is we've sort of designed homes. For example, 60% of the children living, in the latest statistics, living in nursing homes are of Maori descent. Now, traditionally, Maori people have grown up in a more collective society, and we don't have those sort of homes. Maori have sort of been pushed into the cities, and the homes are sort of for just a small family, but often Maori will live with grandparents and uncles and aunts and others, but if you put them in sort of European-designed home, it's not going to be enough room. So we need to design homes so that there is more room for families to work together, because that working together keeps everyone safe and also important. So we could redesign homes in a way that actually is more suitable, particularly for Maori and perhaps also for Pacific societies. They're more used to living in that way, and given their personal space and all that. But at the moment, it's you either cram in two or three families into a house for a family of four, and you've got 20 people living in there, and that's just too tough on everyone. And even though governments talk about it, and I think some private organisations are now trying to say, we'll put some money into homes, I hope they are the right sort of homes for children, because if they're just sort of apartments and things, that's tough for children to live in as well. And you know, people still have reasonably large families, and they need the space for children to be able to survive. So to me, it should be one of our absolute highest priorities as a government. We think that roads are important. Well, I think that a home is equally as important as the roads if we're going to have a flourishing and good society. So it needs to be kind of well up the pecking order in that respect. So design of homes that are appropriate, design of homes that are safe. It should be. It was in the 50s, 60s and 70s, the massive number of homes that were built. Now, sometimes some of those homes have been taken back by governments and sold off, and I think that was a bad move to do, because they were good homes. And government at the moment, the previous government, have been promising to build more homes, but we really need to be a higher priority. I mean, really does. we've got to see it that we're all affected, every child that's not in a good, safe home, and giving parents an opportunity to do a good job with their children. We're all going to pay that price. It's going to be a price that we all pay because of the health issues that will be caused and also the other educational other issues that will be created. So I think we have to be very clear that it should be our highest priority to have a really good and healthy society.
That was Professor of Law at the University of Auckland, Mark Hennigan, speaking to me about calls to reform children's housing rights in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.